Waiter, waiter. More.
Chicken lay. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, and farming here on KRCB. It is Michelle and Jordan. How are you doing this evening? Good, I hope. Safe, comfortable, not bored. Something fun, interesting to do, a glass of wine while you listen to Mouthful, or perhaps a glass of apple juice or apple cider. We have one guest this evening, somebody who I think she could fill 10 shows easily. Someone with the most bubbly, beautiful personality that comes across so well on radio. It is Dusky Estes. Hi there, Dusky.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. We're feeling safe at the moment, so lucky for that.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. You have been bouncing all around the county. You've gone on, the country. You've gone on two road trips, right?
I did. I have two daughters, and of course, this is the time where some of the colleges are attempting to get back into session. Whether that be wise or not, I have to say I question. But so I went on one road trip with my younger daughter, who's a senior in high school, for her to meet with some coaches because we couldn't have her committing to the next year without ever having stepped on a campus. So I did one road trip in Philadelphia and Lexington, Virginia, with Mackenzie, my younger daughter, and then came home and started another road trip with my other daughter, Bridie, to get her back to school at St. Olaf in Minnesota. So we did a three-day drive across country to get her back to school. And, you know, they did testing on everybody, and she's currently in a 14-day quarantine. She and her five roommates all tested negative, so we're quite relieved. But, of course, this is the beginning of a long story, I am sure.
Absolutely. What was it like driving? Like, where did you stop? Did you take food with you? Did you find restaurants open? Did you stay in hotels? Just what's it like out there compared to pre-COVID?
It is an amazing experience, obviously, and so I'm thrilled you're interested. I would say, of course, I was completely paranoid going into hotels. I had my Sani packet, and I Sanied every surface when we got there, every knob, every light switch, every door handle, so that we tried to stay safe. And I did the same on the plane rides that we were on in order to get to the East Coast or from the East Coast. I backed up the sanitation of the airline. Obviously, most of the airlines are not very full, and most of the airports are predominantly empty. All your services are closed. Like, generally, there's only one place where you can get food, depending on the timing of your flight. In my cases, we were so early in the morning that everything was closed. So you can't depend on anything in the airport as support for your eating. But the good part of road trips nowadays in these times is you can get amazing quality food as takeout or to go. So we searched every city we were in using two sources. Of course, we used Guy Fieri's Triple D network. So we would see in whatever town where he had been and what he liked. And obviously, I've done a lot of work with the James Beard Foundation on they've trained a number of chefs to talk to both media and politicians about food policy change. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of their boot camp alums. So I used that network on the James Beard Foundation, also plugging in cities and sort of cross-reference the Triple D against the James Beard. It was kind of funny. And so we did have a foodie adventure along the way because, of course, that's how we do in my family. So we were able to get some fairly amazing food along the way.
What really stands out? What are some of the?
And so I'm happy to share what we did in different cities if you want me
definitely
to.
Definitely, share some.
I don't want to take up the whole hour.
That's okay. We've got your new career, your new job to talk about. We'll have plenty of time. But definitely share some of the foods that really stood out.
Well, so when we hit Philadelphia, we went to one of the oldest marketplaces in the country, which, of course, was a draw for me. It was called the Reading Terminal Market.
Oh, I love that
and of
place.
Of course, because for Zazu, we always made bacon donuts. I had to try their s'more donuts and their bacon donuts, which, of course, I decided that mine were better in all humility. and we went and had something I'd never had before that I'd seen a lot in, you know, social media. We had rolled ice cream. Have you ever had that before?
No, I don't know what it is.
So they take something, I believe it's called an ice griddle. This is one of these food science projects. It looks like one of the crepe machines that I'm sure you're familiar with.
Oh, definitely.
They pour crepe batter on and it makes a very thin pancake normally, but instead this is a round metal plate that is frozen, and you pour your ice cream base directly on this frozen surface, and you use like a putty knife and you move it around on the frozen surface, so it looks like it's a crepe, but instead it is ice cream batter or base, and you use the putty knife and you roll tubes that are like, I don't know, 3 inches wide, and you put a bunch of these rolled tubes in your cup, and you can, and that's how you eat it. But you can add candy, like mix-ins, etc. So of course for me, everything is better with M&Ms. So I had an espresso rolled ice cream with M&Ms. It's obviously predominantly about its showmanship, I would say.
Yeah.
Because the texture is actually kind of gummy because it has to be a little bit thicker of a base.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say in terms of texture, I prefer rolled ice cream. If you have to eat a showmanship kind of ice cream, I do love the liquid nitrogen ice cream like Two Dog Night Creamery does in our area.
Right,
the
yes.
The texture on liquid nitrogen ice cream is incredibly smooth and beautiful, but rolled ice cream is a little bit less so.
Interesting.
But I was probably one of the most exciting things to me in Philadelphia because of my new job running Farm to Pantry here, which, you know, rescues food on farms here in Sonoma County and delivers it to people who are facing food insecurity. In the Reading Terminal Market, they had these communal refrigerators that I had read about in the New York Times as taking place in New York City, where anybody in the community can put food in this communal fridge, and anyone who is in need can go get food there.
What a great idea.
It's a pretty cool idea. So I would say that was probably my highlight in Philadelphia, other than, of course, being with my daughter.
Yes.
And we did get some amazing Thai food at a restaurant because we tend to eat, even though we're known for our bacon, we tend to eat vegetable forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went to a Thai restaurant and had an amazing eggplant curry with coconut rice delivered straight to our door. So delivery and drive-in in all these communities, you can get fairly good food on the takeout basis.
Interesting.
But so then the next city we went to was Gettysburg, which I would say they definitely need some more vegetable-forward restaurants there. When we asked people for a vegetable-forward restaurant, we were directed to a restaurant that had burgers and French fries, and they divided their menu into Union and Confederate kind of burgers.
Oh, wow.
So there were, you know, 9 burgers under the Union side and 9 burgers under the Confederate side. I couldn't bring myself, of course, to order from one side. And that was a beginning of an eye-opener. And then we moved into Lexington, Virginia, where we compared the number of Confederate flags we saw against the number of Pride flags we saw. And I bet you can imagine who was in the lead.
I can imagine.
And then, but we did find a bakery that had an amazing salad. Somebody who is an Alice Waters alum. We were very happy to get a good, you know, Greek salad that was incredible with beautiful tomatoes and beautiful mesclun lettuces. So we did well on that first trip. And then the second trip, we went from Utah to South Dakota to Minnesota with my older daughter, Bridie. And in Utah, we went to a place called Swig, which was because Utah is predominantly, or not predominantly, I would say has a large number of Mormons.
Yes.
They have a lot of folks that don't drink alcohol. And so, of course, this was a perfect thing to take somebody who's 18 years old to. It was essentially a non-alcoholic cocktail place. So a bunch of mocktails made out of sodas that they tried to fancy up a little bit. So, and I love when I go to Duke's, they always have a shaved cocktail. A cocktail on tap that they do over shaved ice.
Mm,
and
mm-hmm.
So that's always my go-to at Duke's.
That sounds
but
great.
So I loved shaved ice in a drink. So this place, Swig in Salt Lake City, had shaved ice, and I enjoyed a cocktail that had no booze, and it would have been better with a little bit of rum. But it had coconut milk, pineapple, peach puree, and Sprite, and it was very refreshing in the heat of the drive. And then we got delivered to our hotel, a place that was both on Triple D and James Beard recommended. It was called Laziz, and it was a Lebanese kitchen where we had amazing fried cauliflower that was tossed in toasted cumin with a little tahini sauce. And then I had incredible baba ganoush and lebna.
Oh, wonderful.
With some fried pita chips. So uh-huh. You can have amazing vegetable forward food on a road trip, I tell you. And then from Utah, we went to South Dakota, and which was, many of you may know, there was a biker convention there.
Was it at the same time you were there?
A fair number of pro-life signs. So that was also an eye-opener. There was a sign that read, "Your mama was pro-life." And Bridie was interested in these signs. And a number of the bikers, when we went to the Crazy Horse Monument, a number of the bikers were not wearing masks. So that was another eye-opener that South Dakota does not require anyone to be in masks anywhere. But we went glamping at an amazing place called Under Canvas, where we could see Mount Rushmore from our tent. And it's such fancy glamping. You have beds, and you have carpet in your tent, and they hand you a shmore kit, and they even light the fire for you so you don't have to do any of the work. So I felt crazy lucky being able to look at Mount Rushmore as the sun set and as the sun rose. And then we left for Minnesota, which was our, you know, destination. We drove with a tornado chasing us, which was the only fight my daughter and I had the whole road trip. I wanted to pull over, but, of course, there was nowhere to pull over because the exits were about an hour in between each other. But I was terrified. She instead was at the wheel and decided to try to outrace it, which we succeeded at her effort. So we were looking at tons of lightning, you know, that then, of course, came in this direction, which is obviously tragic, causing the fires that we're facing now. But then in Minnesota, I would tell you there's much less great food there, so we opted for vegetarian sushi because that is obviously made fresh daily and I think hard to mess up. So and usually the chefs in a sushi restaurant are very caring. So That's what we ate once we landed in Minnesota. But in South Dakota, I forgot to tell you about a great place we went that was totally up my alley. It was called Bread and Circus. And this was a recommendation from Triple D. And we had both a cauliflower gyro and a pork belly gyro, which, of course, you can guess which one was my favorite.
I know which one would be my favorite, too.
The pork belly in a delicious pita with tahini and feta was, and a bunch of yogurt on it was amazingly delicious, and cucumbers and tomatoes.
And that was South Dakota.
That was South Dakota, a place called Bread and Circus. I highly recommend. And I was wearing, I have this dress of all the powerful women congressmen. And so obviously it's all women and it's all colors, all races of people on my dress. And I was wearing it that day. We went into Bread and Circus, and the cashier, who I believe was lefty, said to me, you better be careful wearing that dress in these parts. I was kind of intrigued by that.
Wow, that's pretty. That's interesting.
Of course, we were on the road, so we weren't there to stay.
Wow. Well, on that note, we're going to take a little musical break, and we will be right back. What would a road trip be without a soundtrack? And that, Paul Simon, of course, Graceland, is a quintessential road trip song to me. I love road trips partly because of that. Dusky Estes, thank you so much for sharing those details about the road trip you and your daughters took recently. Really enjoyed it. And now we're going to, the last year or say year and a half has been a huge change for you and your family. The start of 2019, there you were, restaurant, middle of the Barlow, popular restaurant. So much has changed since then between floods.
I would definitely say clearly our community hasn't caught a break between, you know, fire again.
And toss in a virus on top of it.
All small businesses in different ways. The flood and differences with our landlord obviously made it that we couldn't come back at Zazu. And so we pivoted, which everyone is using that word so much now. We pivoted to our food truck and our bacon business. And then, of course, with the pandemic, all restaurants, including food trucks, are seeing hard times because all the music festivals and winery events that we were supposed to be a part of, all canceled. So it was time to pivot, to not have all of our family income in one direction. And when the pandemic started, I decided that I didn't feel comfortable volunteering in a kitchen. I was actually a little bit afraid to, which is, you know, we always put our heads down in these kind of times. But being close in the time of the pandemic, when I have older parents that I'm minding and bringing food on a weekly basis, I just couldn't do it. So I started volunteering for Farm to Pantry, having never heard of it before, if you can believe it, even though it's been around since 2008, but predominantly in Healdsburg. And I fell in love with being outside on a farm property and giving my labor to another. And it is an amazing effort. I joined the team in the middle of April, and we are now countywide. We are delivering as far south as Pengrove, as far east as Oakmont and as far west as Valley Ford and as far north as Cloverdale. So I'm good at pushing boundaries, as we all know. And we're gleaning about 15 times a week, 6,000 pounds a week, which is 24,000 servings of fruit and vegetable. We seek to rescue what would otherwise go wasted. We do it all with volunteers. I'm the only full-time person with two other part-time team members. So we need your support. If you want to join in the effort, you can go to www.farmtopantry.org. There's three buttons there, one for givers if you want to financially support us, one for gleaners if you want to come out with us, and one for growers if you have a backyard or a farm that you want to contribute your thing, your backyard goods. And then we get it both to hot meal programs and to grocery programs, depending what the product is. We're working with about 80 nonprofit agencies, and we are safe. We are following strict sanitation. We stay apart from each other. When we're outside, we wear masks, and we sanitize every picker you touch, every bag you touch. And in terms of the fire, obviously we need volunteers because we are still going out there. I already went to two properties this morning, and I'll go to two more this afternoon. We're checking in with the fire location every day and our volunteers in our farms. So it's requiring a little bit more flexibility in terms of we make a plan in the afternoon the day before, but then in the morning we may adjust a little according to what's happening with either our volunteers or our farmers.
So are you all out there?
Generally, your commitment is about a three-hour gleaning commitment, and if you can choose whether you want to drive the food around after and see the benefit of your labor on the other end, or if you're done after you've, you know, done the sweaty part. The only other thing that I want to bring to everyone's attention is that on September 10th, John and I are doing a Zoom cooking class, and it's both for Farm to Pantry and an organization called Homeward Bound. I'm sure you know about them, Michelle, that is in Marin County. They're a job training program and recovery program for the homeless. And it's an amazing program that I've supported for a number of years, and normally through a cooking class and a dinner. But, of course, now it is instead an online Zoom cooking class, and you'll get a bottle of a wine that we make with Davis Family Vineyards called Black Pig Syrah. And so in addition to the cooking class, you'll get to drink a little bit of our Sonoma County wine at the same time.
And that's on September 10th, you said?
That's September 10th, and you would find the link on the Homeward Bound website. Go to their events page and sign up. We'd love to have you on our Zoom with us.
Okay, I want to go back to Farm and Pantry now. And are you gleaning every day?
Every day. We're going from anywhere to 3 to 6 properties.
And is that where the bulk of what you are gleaning is coming from, directly from farms? I'm wondering about farmers markets, farm stands, that sort of thing. Do those also get covered?
Yes. So we are predominantly gleaners that go pick in people's backyard or on farm properties. But we also do circle through a number of the farmers markets. And so the farmers at the farmers markets give to us at the end if they don't have another market they could sell at after that. And where else do we go? There's also people who pick their own and want us to come pick it up. So we do that as well.
So let's say somebody is just an avid home gardener and they ended up with the obvious whole lot of zucchini, maybe mounds of tomatoes. They can get in touch with Farm to Pantry and you all go pick it up?
Absolutely. So if you have too much bounty, which is never a bad problem to have, and it happens a lot in Sonoma County, you can pick it all yourself. You can email us at gleaning@farmtopantry.org or go to the website, farmtopantry.org, and hit the grow button. and give us your info, and we can come pick up any of your excess and get it to people who are hungry. And so we say, obviously, it takes a village, and we're grateful to everybody being a part of the fix.
I think it was about 10 years ago, there was a burst of gleaning effort. You might have been too busy with little kids and running a restaurant to have been able to see a lot of it. And it could have even been a little bit longer ago than that. But it seemed to come together in an art show based at the museum. There, you know, just to the north of the Santa Rosa Plaza. And what they did was, these two women, they took fruit. I think they had apples, pears, and I'm not sure what else. And they put it in piles near trees that were adjacent to or close to the museum. And they had come up with a rubber stamp and food safe dye. And they stamped free fruit, I think fruta libra, on everything. And they were just there for people to take. And
I love that. Yeah. Where are they now? Can they do it again?
I think, you know, I will research that. I loved it, and they were going to keep on doing it. And I think they did for a couple of years. I just thought it was the most exciting thing. And it was right around the same time that the Agnes Varda movie, if you know Agnes Varda, she was one of the French New Wave filmmakers. And she made a movie that translated into English, I think was The Gleaned and The Gleaners, something like that. Anyways, about the history of gleaning, particularly in France. And Varda, being the brilliant artist that she was, takes the whole concept of gleaning and applies it to her own aging body. She was, I think she was in her 80s at the time she made that movie. But she also expanded on it. She went into areas of French art. There's a lot of famous paintings showing the gleaners. The French government guarantees the people of France the right to glean. You know, companies have tried to stop it in France over the years, and it's like, no, you can't stop it. We have that right. So there was just this huge explosion of interest, and then it faded away. And now I'm thinking maybe Farm to Pantry is going to refocus that energy and kickstarted again. So I'm loving what you're doing, Dusky.
Well, thank you. And I love that story about the free fruit.
Well, I will try to find
dye.
The women.
That's just amazing.
I will find the women who did it. I know that I have every email I ever got since I started to email, so I can find it. It'll take a while. But I will look for them. Maybe there's something we can do. And with coming up on harvest, you know, right on the edge of it, you know, maybe we can even do something this year.
Yeah, well, what it brought to mind is actually one of the partnerships that I've been working on very much in the last couple of weeks is with Slow Food. You may know they normally did the communal apple press in Sebastopol.
Right.
As one of their efforts is obviously to save diversity of agriculture in our community. And they couldn't do the communal press this year because most of their volunteers are, you know, between 60 and 70, and it's too scary with the pandemic.
Exactly.
And so instead, we are gleaning as many apples as we can, and they are at the Episcopal Church in Sebastopol on this next Thursday between 10 and 2. Anyone can bring their apples there, and then Manzana is turning it into applesauce that will be shelf-stable, and it will go to the Redwood Empire Food Bank.
Oh, excellent.
So that's what we've been doing with all the apples that we pick is every week we stockpile them all week and then take them to that press. And also Apple a Day, which is another local processing facility, turns some of it into juice. So Slow Food was able to pull together all these different agencies when the communal press couldn't go forward. It's been pretty amazing.
This is great. We're going to take another musical break, and we will be right back with more Talk with Dusky Estes here on Mouthful.
Yeah!
I don't care what Paul McCartney says. I think that's a road trip song. It is Mouthful. That was, of course, the Beatles. Drive My Car. I'm talking with Dusky Estes about a lot of things, primarily her new work at Farm to Pantry. What is your title, Dusky?
I am the executive director of Farm to Pantry.
Excellent. One of the only executive directors anywhere, I bet, who gets down on the farm and does the picking yourself. You have.
I love getting my hands dirty.
Well, when I saw you when we were walking down the street, I was walking back to the farmer's market and standing next to you, and we don't recognize each other because of masks.
I know. It's so hard to recognize people with only half the face.
Yeah, but then we did, and it's like, oh, it's Dusky, and you were on your way to get stuff from the farmer's market.
Yes. Amazing, generous farmers.
So when they don't sell what they've taken to the market that day, a lot of it will go to those of you who are gathering food.
Yes, like at the Santa Rosa farmer's market, we're getting... every Saturday, we're getting up to, you know, somewhere around 250 pounds, which we say a pound gets food to four people. So we're getting food to about 1,000 people worth of servings, if you can believe it.
Right. So some of it goes to Redwood Empire Food Bank, right?
So we work with so many different agencies.
Okay.
So we work with Redwood Empire Food Bank. We work with the Healdsburg Pantry. We work with Ceres and Food for Thought. We work with Sonoma Family Meals, of course, which is now starting back up at the fairgrounds for evacuees as we speak. We also have a relationship with Burbank Housing. So we deliver to at least 10 of their low-income housing units, and I'm very proud of that because when we have a day where we are doing four gleans at the same time, we all meet up at a joint place and exchange items. So there's diversity of agriculture, and I'm calling it a farmer's market in a box. But basically then from the meetup of the four gleans, we drive to six Burbank housing units, basically a mini farmer's market for the folks that live there.
Oh, that's great.
And that feels really like food justice, I have to tell you. And I know you can relate to this, that for so many years, I was proud to show off and showcase the beautiful produce that our farmers give us in Sonoma County. And only, you know, the lucky few could afford to come to Zazu. And now I get to harvest, you know, the best peach you ever had or the most gorgeous head of lettuce, and everybody has access. That can be on everybody's table. It feels like powerful change in action.
That's really wonderful, Dusky. It's wonderful not just for the people that you're serving, but it's got to be really healing to you as well.
Yes, it is. And I tell you a story about
Please.
A peach and a Catholic Charities site?
Sure.
So Catholic Charities obviously does a ton of good work within our community, and they help run and organize the Tent Village that's to the left of the Finley Aquatic Center on Stony Point and College. And so they have a village of about 40 tents there. And so on one Friday afternoon, I was picking the most gorgeous white succulent peaches from Healdsburg. They were the kind that in a farmer's market would be $6 each at least, and luscious, fragrant fruit, the juice just dripping down your cheek.
White peaches are just so amazing.
Peach I think I'd ever eaten in my life.
Yes.
And I took a box to the Finley Aquatic Center because obviously fruit is easily managed in homeless communities because it, you know, doesn't need to be cut or cooked. And so I took it to the security guard and I gave it to him and I said, do you mind asking them if they think they would eat another box in the next, you know, day and a half, because we're about zero waste, so I can leave a second box here if you think you will eat them, but if it's too much, I'll take them elsewhere. And so he went around the the fence, and I couldn't see all the folks getting to eat the peaches, but I could hear them. I could hear about 10 voices coming over the fence line, and you could almost hear the juice, you know, drop and hit the pavement, I have to tell you. It was a day where it was 105 degrees, and they had the misters out for everybody so that they could cool off. And over the fence came the folks yelling, "Lady, lady, those are the best peaches ever. They're delicious." And you could just really honestly hear the integrity of their gratitude. And to me, a peach in the perfect time of summer really can turn any day around for that moment.
I agree completely.
So it felt like, you know, we could put a smile on a face of somebody in a predicament, you know, for that moment. And it felt right.
That's a great thing to do. Thank you for thank you for sharing that story. And we look forward to hearing more of them, as I'm sure you will have them. I'm wondering how, let's see, let me gather my thoughts here. With the food pantries, like Redwood Empire and the other food pantries, they are giving people groceries, right? And then the...
So predominantly, obviously, what the Redwood Empire Food Bank has plenty of is the canned and dry goods. So it is great for us to show up with produce, because as we all know, that's the greatest immunity boost in a grocery bag. So, and it makes you feel the best when you eat it. So we feel very lucky to be in partnership with them.
Excellent. And then I'm just thinking about some of the people or some of the agencies that are doing prepared food. So you're giving food as well to, say, Ceres, which does prepared foods, family meals, that sort of thing. So some of it's being cooked by the person who eats it, and then some is being prepared and then delivered to somebody who eats the end product. Do I have that right?
Yeah, about we just did a comparison this week so I could have a better handle of what percentage went where. So about 30% is going to hot meal programs, and about 70% is going to folks that have their own kitchens and are cooking it themselves. So and the hot meals programs also includes, you may have heard of Salves, which is delivering hot meals to some of the homeless in our community that are in the ADUs, the accessory dwelling units. Mm-hmm. And they're working out of the kitchen at the Grange in Sebastopol.
Oh.
And so that's one of the hot meal programs that we work with. And then one of the grocery programs that we work with is Corazon in Healdsburg. But so we're working with, you know, about 80 different agencies.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with
that
meals?
Are both hot meal and grocery to go.
Yeah. Do you work with Meals on Wheels at all?
We don't work with Meals on Wheels, and that is because they have to have their food. They have very strict nutrition guidelines, and so they can't take things that came out of people's backyards, and so that makes it difficult for
sure.
us.
Sure, of
and
course, that is of course.
Sad.
Yeah. Yeah, that's too bad. But that, you know, there are lots of...
Sonoma Family Meals was using chefs to cook a lot for the elderly. So the elderly communities that are working with Sonoma Family Meals have been able to access to all this produce.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know the difference there, but...
Different guidelines. And Meals on Wheels gets a lot of federal funding, I think.
Right.
And if you get federal funding, there are some specific guidelines you have to follow.
Yeah. So sadly, because we don't want any waste regardless of whether it's somebody's backyard or not, we don't get the opportunity to really work with them.
Well, I think it's a good web. I mean, if you're connecting with 80 agencies, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a huge amount of effort, and I think it all fits together really well. We're going to take one last musical break, and we will be right back with our final segment with Dusky Estes.
Driving like a nut in the rain. Don't think I was acting so hysterically, but I didn't see a thing until it came.
Dave Edmunds, another essential road trip song. Gotta have that song on your playlist. It's Dusky Estes, executive director of Farmed Pantry, who's joined us for the entire hour this evening. Great to have you. You're always so upbeat.
Great to be here.
Well, you're always just so upbeat. Even when we're talking about something difficult, I always leave a conversation with you feeling better. So thank you for
that. Would be the goal.
Let's talk a little bit about the Black Piglet and Black Pig Bacon. The food truck is still, it's not working much, but it's still in operation, right?
Yeah, so we had to pivot with that business, but pivot basically back to home. We are every Friday, Saturday, Sunday at Davis Family Vineyards from 11:30 to 4, and you can get the best damn BLT I hope you ever had.
Except at my house,
from
Dusky.
From our food truck, and we also have other things if you don't want a BLT. But John is growing the lettuce and the tomato in our backyard, so it is the most local BLT you could get. We're using a Nightingale Bakery sourdough bread that is, you know, from a wood-fired oven in Forestville and delicious. We make a little Tabasco aioli on there, so it's a little bit, it's got a tiny kick for you. But we have burgers from Stemple Creek, which is one of my favorite regenerative ranches in Sonoma County that we grind our bacon into. So we call it bacon in the burger that comes with obviously molten cheese on there and some crispy onions. You know, or we have salads if you're more in the mood for a salad. So we would love to have you at the food truck. And, of course, Davis Family has amazing wines. I'm the biggest fan of a white blend that they do that's called a Cuvée Luc. And it's a Marsan, Roussan, and Viognier blend. But they also make a sparkling rosé that I think I could just live off of.
I never want
my glass empty when that start is in there.
I love that one. I love their sparkling.
It's empty fairly quickly. But so we'd love to see you at Davis Family Vineyards. Of course, for this weekend, I don't know what's going to happen. For now, we think we will be open. But please call before you come this weekend.
Always call before you go.
Obviously, it's minute by minute for all of us.
Yes. And then real quick, your bacon is pretty widely distributed in locally owned markets in Sonoma County.
Yes, we love our locally owned markets, as you know. Our bacon is at Andy's, Big John's, Pacific, Oliver's, in San Francisco at Marina Meats and the Ferry Terminal at Golden Gate Meat and Byright Market in San Francisco. And then in the East Bay, it's also at the Pasta Shop, Market Hall Foods. So, and, of course, you can order it online. Or you could get it at our food truck if you came to Davis Family on Friday, Saturday, or Sunday. We sell it there, too.
Oh, excellent.
So, lots of places for you to get some awesome bacon. And also, I think Backyard Restaurant in Forestville, when they do their to-go suppers, they have a little market stand, and I think they're selling our bacon there as well.
Oh, great. And so, and again, Farm to Pantry is farmtopantry.org. Is that correct?
Yes, farmtopantry.org is where you could sign up to be a giver, a gleaner, or a grower. And we would love to have you join us in being a part of the fix.
Excellent. And Black Pig, what's the website?
Our website is blackpigmeatco.com. And that's where you can hear about all the food truck locations when we're active, but you can also order all of our goodies. We make more than bacon. We make a bacon caramel popcorn. We make chicharrón peanut butter cups. We make lip lardo lip balm and lard lather soap that don't make you taste or smell like a pig. The lip lardo for your lips is almond, and the lard lather for your body is rose geranium that we grow out back. So we use the lard for good.
Wow, that's great, Dusky. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us. Before I say goodnight, I've got just a couple of things I wanted to mention. Tonight at 7:30, so coming up very soon, it is Food for Thought's virtual long table. Last year, I did the menu for their in real life long table. Obviously, this year they can't. We can't do it. They can't do it because of COVID. But there are a lot of auction items. The auction has been open for several days now. It will close tonight. One of the auction items, should you be interested in, is Dinner for Eight by me, on a special theme that we come up with ourselves. But there's lots of wonderful auction items, and it's a great way to celebrate such a vital agency in Sonoma County, Food for Thought, doing wonderful things. And then I wanted to go out and just acknowledge the passing of Barry Sterling of Iron Horse Vineyards a few days ago. Passed away in his sleep, 89 years old, a little bit short of his 90th birthday. Wonderful life, huge impact on not just Sonoma County agriculture and winemaking, but really throughout the country. Had a deep love for the south of France as well, something he and I shared. Lovely family. His wife, Audrey, is doing well. She's pretty active on Facebook anyway. And Joy Sterling, of course, who runs Iron Horse Vineyards now. Just want to say to the Sterling family, you know, big hugs. It's a hard loss, even when it's a timely passing. Barry was larger than life, and he always will be in our memories. And on that note, I think we are just about out of time here on Mouthful. Next week, we are going to be talking with Tara Jasper about her new venture with artisan-made gin and a tea that are already being distributed around the country. So again, thanks very much to Dusky Estes for being with us tonight. Thanks for you for tuning in. Stay safe. And keep yourself and your loved ones well fed. I'll meet you back here next Sunday at 6 for another yummy episode of Mouthful, smart talk about food, wine, farming, and more here on KRCB Radio FM. Grips a car.